Good morning, Far Cry family. Good morning. The first service, we had a rooster in that corner there. But make me feel that I was back home. But we are here, the second service. And I would like to start by praising God for this great nation. In 1984, 30 years plus ago, while stationed in Fort Lee, Virginia, an old lady with a bus ministry led me to Christ. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was broken, rejected, and empty. After retiring from the service, I went back to Puerto Rico until 5 years ago and came back to the U.S., because Angela Educations and being part of Johnson University, we were invited to this church, Far Cry, by Pastor Bill. Not only I accepted Christ in Virginia, I was ordained as an elder on this church. It's a great nation, great land. This land meant a lot to me. I also would like to give thanks to Far Cry Church for everything have done for us, but especially for the people of Puerto Rico through the Puerto Rico Heart for Puerto Rico project. Thanks to Pastor Loner, Pastor Bill, staff, volunteer, for the great job that they're doing for Jesus Christ. Jen asked me if I wanted to include my biography in the bulletin, we told her, most of the people know us. But if you don't know me, I would like to know you. Take time and come and say hi. We are great people to be around with. My wife, Myra. My daughter, Angela. My brother is visiting from Colombia. He fell in love with a Colombian lady, and he don't want to go back to Puerto Rico. He said he will stay in Puerto Rico, in Colombia, sorry. But we are great people to be around with. If you want to know, just take us to lunch. Just kidding. We will see a slideshow of the third pallet that was collected here and got sent to Puerto Rico. Thank you. Thank you, you guys, for helping our island. They've been under crisis for many years now, and after the hurricane, they still trying to make it. We thank you. We don't have words to try to say what this means to us. As I look back, I have done good things for Jesus Christ. But I want to do more. I want to continue growing in Christ and His kingdom. Improvement is a daily decision, and that is why I bring this message today. The purpose of my message today is a call for believers to come back to purity in our love for God and for our neighbor. I title the message, I didn't say it in the first service, Come Back to the Cross of Jesus. Come back to the cross of Jesus. The greatest power I have given into the hands of man is the power to make decisions for himself. In fact, we make over 2,500 decisions in an average day, some important and some not. I pray to God that today you make the correct decision in your life. We all make decisions in order to obtain results in the short, medium, and long term. For an example, pursuit of education. We study for the simple reason of ensuring a prosperous future. In fact, the human being makes decisions every day, and the majority are related to the future. Decisions can mark your life for good or for bad. David knew that life is short and that his decision could lead him to a spiritual ruin. It is for that reason that in Psalm 90:11-12 says, "Who understand the power of your anger? Who connect this brevity of life among us with your judgment of sin and your wrath? Who connected it with the reverence fear that is due you?" Verse 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may cultivate and bring to you a heart of wisdom." David asked God to help him count his days. In a few words, what David was saying, "God, help me to make a correct decision in life." Joshua, a man of a right decision, was present when Jehovah spoke to the people of Israel about the importance of choosing to serve God or serving idols. And he could see with his own eyes the terrible consequence suffered by those people who made the wrong decisions to serve idols. In the Bible, we find texts that confirm how important it was for Joshua to make the correct decisions. In Joshua 24:14-15, we find Joshua challenged the children of Israel to make a decision as to whom they will serve. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Remove the gods which your parents served on the other side of the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Verse 15, "If it is unacceptable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that they were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." These passages teach us that God gives us the ability to choose and think about the options that we have in choosing the right decisions. It teaches us that in our life, we will go through extreme moments, that a single decision will determine our destiny, that we'll always be obligated to choose. Joshua knew how unpleasant it was not to choose to serve Jehovah. In Numbers 13, we find the story of 12 men who went to spy the promised land. And particularly, I believe that it was this mission that changed the life of Joshua. Seeing the unpleasing outcome of those men who decided not to believe Jehovah. In this story, we find five fundamental truths. Number one, the opportunity that God gives to the human being to be able to serve him. Numbers 13:1-16. Number two, the disbelief of a man. Numbers 13:27-32. And I would like to concentrate a little bit on disbelief. Disbelief is the inability or refusal to accept that something is true or real. Disbelief is a root of disunity. Disunity among Christians is often caused by disregard for the Lordship of Jesus. Disregard For the lordship of Jesus is often caused by disbelief in the person of Jesus. Lord means master, authority, and the person exercising absolute ownership, right. When you have a Lord, His agenda is your agenda. His plan is your plan. His goal are your goals. Disregard for the Lordship of Jesus creates disunity as we elevate our agendas above Jesus' agenda. We soon stop serving and start demanding. We stop forgiving and start condemning. We stop being gracious and become bitter. We hold grudges, cut off communication, draw lines, and pick sides. Are there areas in your life in which you are not obeying Jesus as Lord? If so, the problem may be that you don't believe He is who He claims to be. Example, if I hear a smoke detector and don't respond, I obviously don't believe in that smoke detector. If you hear Jesus' command and don't respond, we obviously don't believe He's the Son of God. The resurrected one, the rightful Lord of our life. Disbelief in the person of Jesus leads to disregard for the Lordship of Jesus as we begin so think. Sometimes we say, I know Jesus says repent, but I don't think I have any sin. I know Jesus says die to self, but a doctor on the TV says strengthen self. I know Jesus says not to worry about daily necessity, but it's too naive for this real world. I know Jesus says forgive my enemy, but my enemies are really bad. I know Jesus says forgive, but I have been wrong. I know Jesus says give sacrificially, but I need to retire one day. I know Jesus says make disciples, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let the pastor do it. I'm going to let my neighbor do it. I'm going to let the professional do it. In other words, we cannot say we believe Jesus is who He said He is and refuse to listen and to submit Him and to submit to Him. And we cannot refuse to listen and submit to Him and remain united. He also teaches us a fundamental principle, the fear of being defeated by enemy. We see that in number 13, 28, 33. Also, we can see the blessing of God for those who decide well. Number 13, 30, numerals 14, 6, 9. We can see the wicked result of incorrect decisions. Number 14, 16, 38. He says, now the men who Moses sent to spy out the land, who return and make all the congregation complain against him and bring in a bad report of the land. Verses 37, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by a plague before the Lord. Verse 38, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. Today, across the nation of the USA, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, and Nicaragua, the church are becoming passive towards serving, giving, and community outreach. Statistics shows that in most churches in US, 80% of the work is being carried out by 20% or less of the people. We have become a church of a spectator, and the pastoral staff is getting burnt out. The problem is, are even bigger than the 80-20 principle. Only 39% of active believers consider the Bible as literally Word of God. Less than 20% of professing believers follow the biblical principle of giving. Only 5% have shared their faith with a non-believer. More than a half of all church members attend church once a month or less. Something has to change. Why I say that? Because in my relationship with God, the more I seek Him, the more I find Him. The more I find Him, the more I love Him. His love for me moved me to want to please Him, not out of fear, but out of understanding His faithfulness, His mercifulness and justice. Casual attendance and the belief that others will serve, give, and share the gospel are tearing down churches across our country, brick by brick. As believers, it is time that we all in for Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you understand what means all in. But while I was in the service, that means your mind, your heart, your soul, everything was in what you were doing. You didn't have room to bring anything else. You either believe who He claims to be and follow Jesus in obedience, or you are in disbelief in the person of Jesus. There's no gray area. Society has trying to make us think that black and white is gray. That's good for painting. You turn out a good color. Yes, definitely. Or you are either in with Jesus Christ or you are out. If we decide today to stop the casual way we approach God's principle, can you imagine what will happen in our personal walk of faith and in our community of believers? What if every believer exercised generosity? What if every Christian fought for loyalty in the local church? What if everyone served in their God-given purpose? Do you know you got a purpose in this life? You're just not walking and breathing. You got a purpose. You just got to find your purpose in Christ and walk out and do what God calls you to do. You're important for the church. You're important for us. We cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot do this individually. We need to be united. We need to work together. We need to pray God and as a whole. What will happen if we stop simply believing and start belonging? Do you know that God loves you? But even more, you got a church. We're not perfect, but we got a church. The pastor loves you. Karen, if she can take her heart and give it to you and walk with her heart, she will do that. We have to We have to continue doing what God called us to do as a whole, as a church of Christ. If we will only quit the way we approach our relationship to Christ and our local church, the blessing, the reward, the joy, the fulfillment, the purpose, and the increase will be radically transform our life and the world. Just think about it. If we are united and you allow us to be part of your struggle, just think about it, how will you feel? Just think about if somebody else is struggling and they can come up to you and find support in you. That's church. That's our system. But one person cannot do it by itself. Together we can revolutionize the Church of Jesus Christ. But the only way we can do this is if we make a decision to obey God and His Word. Jesus does not promise us a life without problem, but He promised His presence, His guidance, and victorious end. Now my brother, he came from Colombia. He's going to be helping me do a few things. And I want him to come up. He was a spiritual son that came this morning. He wanted to give me a surprise, but God already revealed that he was going to come. And he was the one that got surprised. My brother. From the same mother, same father. He's shorter. My mom is short. I'm taller. He been in a construction. Well, actually, he was in a construction business for over 25 years. He built residential single-family units, thousands of them. Schools, walk-ups. He just built about anything that you gave him to build. He had everything. If he didn't have it, he could buy. But he didn't have Jesus Christ. I mean, doesn't matter what you have. Doesn't matter how much you are worth. If you don't have Jesus, you're empty. And that was his position when the crisis started. And I remember that he was staying in my sister's apartment. In the afternoon, on a Tuesday, I was getting ready to go to church, and at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, my mom told me, said, "Hey, can you take supper to your brother?" I said, "Sure, no problem. I'm on my way to church." And I stopped in that apartment to bring him food. And you just gotta see where I went into the scenario that I fell into. When I went into the apartment, he had a gun. He was getting ready to do a homicide and a suicidal. A man that had a lot of money, but did not have the one that actually can help him. He accepted Christ. Actually, he came back to Christ because I remember a long time ago, once got on vacation, I took him to church, and he accepted Christ. He just lived a casual life. He just wanted to negotiate the same way he negotiated the business. He wanted to negotiate with God. And at that point, when I saw him and I stepped in that situation, I got a master's degree in psychology. I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew I worked in the crisis unit. I knew this what I was seeing could turn either way quickly. And one thing I told him, I said, you can do whatever you want to do because there's no way I can be with you 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. But one thing I will ask you, I said, what is that? Come to me to church. I could apply many theories in psychology, but I apply what God is telling us to do as a Christian. Go straight to the big daddy. That's what I did. I didn't know how I was going to react, but I told him, I said, let's go to church. And we went to church, and he was fighting, trying to come into church. It was something that did not allow him to come to church, but we were praying inside the church. And he went in, and after the service, we were a prayer service. We took him to a multi-purpose use room, and we continued praying for him. When we got out of the church in the parking lot, he told me, he said, I don't know what happened, but something changed inside of me. Jesus Christ is still transforming people. As we speak, Jesus Christ is still performing miracles. And this word, that we bought. We are still under construction. We are still growing. And every day, I want to grow. Every day, I want to continue. Matter of fact, Miss Beth started an initiative with marriage. And we are marriage on the rock. It's not that my marriage is failing. Oh, I want to make my marriage better. You know what? Because every day that goes by, the more I love God, the more I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and the Lord, the more love I can give to her. I can give to my daughter. I can give to my community. I can give to the people around me. Don't wait until everything is falling apart. We are a community of faith. Come. We got life groups. Get involved in one of those. It's great. We are getting support one each other. We cannot do this alone. We need to be together. And please bow your head. Close your eyes. Today, God's Holy Spirit is challenging us to make a decision as to whom we are going to serve. We can continue serving the world and idols, or we can go all in for Christ and arise from a spiritual depression to a new life. Or we can continue serving ourselves or shine, be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord while being faithful, serving. It is your decision. I cannot make that decision for you. The decisions that we make today will have an effect in the immediate or distant future. Our decisions can affect others, especially to the closest people. Indecision is really a decision to do nothing. Let me ask you, how many Heriberto, like my brother, how many of me, when I came to Christ, broken, empty, and rejected, all around your family, all around your community, all around your work? How many of them? Today you have two decisions to make. Think about the consequence of your decision. Who is the winner or loser? Who is going to benefit? Who is going to risk? Who is going to gain? Who is going to suffer? If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want us to pray for you. We will do that. By raising your hand, you are telling us today you are making a decision for Christ. I did it a long time ago. That was the best decision I could have made. Christian, are you passive towards serving, giving, and community outreach? What kind of Christian are you? An spectator or faithful servant? Are you a hunger for God and His Word? Statistics show only 5% have shared their faith with a non-believer. And which percentage are you in? 5% that shares, or 90% that do not share? More than a half of all church members attend church once a month or less. Are you being faithful with your time for Christ? Remember, decisions are more than what you say. They are what you do. Today, you can make the best decision of your life. That is, declare with conviction, with all your heart, mind, and soul, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a decision. It's a decision that you and I have to make. I make it every single day. Lord, I want to please you. I want to serve you. I cannot make that decision for you. But I can tell you, it's the best decision you could ever make. If you want to pray, if you want us to pray for you, we will do that. If you just want to come on the front and rededicate yourself to Christ. I have rededicate my marriage many times. I rededicate my vows to her. We have to do that. But today, do not leave out of this place. We have telling the Lord, I know. But today is not the day. You have a choice, and there's a consequence of that choice. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I praise you. I thank you. We need you. As the days go by, we are seeing how deteriorate society is getting. And there's no choice. It's either we are all in with you, or we're just going to continue seeing everything fall apart around us. We need your help. We thank you for this opportunity that you're giving me to bring your word. This great land have done good to me. Because an old lady did not give up her position of ministering, boss ministry, I was saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, for your goodness, for your faithfulness. You know our hearts. You know our pain. You know our struggles. You know, Lord, what we are in our life in this moment. I ask you that you place your hand in everyone's heart and minds, and you heal our hearts, our minds. Give us peace and understanding so that we can walk closer to you. Thank you, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, if there's anyone that is experienced, if he's experienced tough times to the point to take in their life, I ask you, Lord, that they can understand, they can come running to you, because in you we have hope. Thank you, Lord. I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen is right. Thank you, Miguel, for sharing with us this morning. I love the line where you're all in, right? Where you're all in, or is this just a part-time thing you're doing? That's not following Jesus if it's part-time, right? Well, church, it's offering time.